L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Back around Darren Donica and Chase on this beautiful Wednesday morning, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth. You should try this bourbon whiskey. It is good. It's crafted in Memphis. It's distilled in Kentucky. It's good stuff, 93 proof. Let's say hello to Max Herz, Anchor Down Podcast. He now joins us. Max, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Darren, I love your hype for the new sponsor. I want some.
Well, we have to save it for after hours, but I can accommodate. I can accommodate.
Count me in.
All right. I'll put you down on the list. Derek Mason came on yesterday, and when I asked him about Ken Seals, he was pretty glowing about his future. He feels like he's the right guy. He talked about his conversations with Kyle Shermer, of course, who's on the staff. Through your eyes, do you agree with the coach's assessment about Ken Seals long term? Do you think he truly is the guy, and he's a guy that can have a really productive career at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, and I think we almost knew it after game one, and he's only solidified it since then. And they've only played three games, but last week in what was a pretty lopsided loss against Ole Miss, the offense actually looked pretty good. I expected the game to be somewhere in the 50s to 28 for Vandy and ended up being 54-21. So kind of right in line with what I expected, but it seemed like a game where Seals was going to be able to throw. He threw for over 300 yards. He was within 100 yards of his combined passing total from the first three games in just that game number four number alone. And I think Mississippi State is going to be another game where he can throw it a little bit just because of what we've seen from their defense, and he's been very poised. He's done what he's been asked to do. In the 20 days where they didn't have a game, it was very obvious that he made some progress, that he's gotten even smarter, that he's watched a lot of film with offensive coordinator Todd Fitch, and presumably also Kyle Shermer, who I believe is just titled as an analyst, but he's in the program, he's in grad school, he's waiting for an NFL team to call him to either join the team or join the practice squad, but he was glowing about Ken Seals as well when I heard him interviewed with Joe Fisher a month or two ago, and I think Seals has been great. It was pretty obvious that he was going to be the starter over the course of the summer, and he's backed it all up. He's been amazing on a team where there really haven't been a lot of individual bright spots this season.
How do you explain their offense as a whole? It's, you know, I mean, that was their obviously their highest output, three offensive touchdowns. They had been good for one a game. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, ironically, are the, you would think with Mike Leach, this would not be the case, but these are the two worst offenses in the league. They're actually lower than Kentucky when it comes to points that they've scored this season. Vanderbilt is obviously the lowest. Why do you think they've had so many struggles on offense where they just, I mean, if you can't stop anybody, and you're struggling on offense, I mean, it's pretty easy to see why you're 0-4.
My biggest observation this year is they haven't had more than one player be good at any one position in any specific game. So they've had two running backs who have been good. Javion Marlow played the first two, and he was great. Then he missed the last game. We don't know if that was COVID or a suspension. We do know he was suspended for this past game and that he will also be suspended for the next game, but Derek Mason said he'll return at some point. So anyway, Marlow played the first two and was good. Keon Henry Brooks played the next two and was also good. If they could get them together in a game, I think that could actually work well. And we saw the disappearance of Jamari Wakefield last game, who's the fifth-year senior running back, which I think is totally fine. I think it should be just Henry Brooks and Marlow getting carries, and when only one of them is in the game, they should just be the bell cow. And that's what we saw with Henry Brooks in the game on Saturday against Ole Miss, and he ran well again and was involved a little bit in the passing game too, especially at the end of the game. It was pretty much garbage time at that point, but I think that's something that they should look at going forward is Henry Brooks in the short passing game. On the receiver side, Amir Abdur-Rahman, who is the number two receiver, was really good in the first game. All the reads were going to him. Seals was able to find him. They were connecting really well. He caught the touchdown pass against Texas A&M. He was great. And he was someone that I had my eyes on going into the season as a potential big breakout guy. He's a redshirt sophomore, coming back from an injury, was good as a true freshman 2 years ago. He was expected to be the number two behind Cam Johnson. And then this past week, Johnson has a great game, all in the RPO, all in the short game, 14 catches on 15 targets, which was great, and it was working, and they had no reason to go away from it, but nobody else showed up. Abdur-Rahman didn't catch a pass. It seems like he's still dealing with an injury, which Derek Mason said at one point was a hamstring. Not sure if that's still the issue, but he was not a factor at all. Mason continues to name drop Devin Boddy every week, who's a really fast receiver and a good route runner. He still has not played a snap. Not sure if they were expecting to have him back and then COVID was an issue or what, but he still hasn't played. I think he's definitely a better third option than Chris Pierce, who is a fifth-year senior. He's a great blocker on the outside. Caught a touchdown this week but dropped another, so they kind of know what they're getting with him, and I think they need to try some new names if they can find a way to get any of them in. But, yeah, I think that's the issue, Darren. There's been one good running back a game. They can't get two of them even dressed for the same game, and then they can't get two receivers going in the same game, and that's just not enough to score what they need to score if they're giving up 40 or 50.
Max Hurst is with us. We're talking Vanderbilt here. So, Max, I'll leave the high school part of the equation here for Chase. I just want to ask one more question because, you know the depth chart. You're giving us great detail on who's in, who's out, what are they trying to do, who's supposed to be out there. We're trying to be fair for how much they've been hit by the COVID. But everybody has had some issue with COVID for sure. How much of just the lack of availability and cohesiveness is hurting them right now, and how much of it is they just don't have the talent to be competitive? Because I think that's going to be the question going forward. They've got to be more competitive if they're going to go forward with Derek Mason.
Yeah, I think it's the competitive piece, especially on defense, because Deshaun Jerkins came back, who's the starting safety, and, I mean, he can't do it all himself, but he's important to have. He returned from COVID in the last game. Donovan Kaufman is out for the season, Derek Mason said yesterday. True freshman who played the first game at nickel corner, played the second game at safety, was really, really good, barely came off the field, was returning kickoffs as well. So he's done for the year. So that's another hole in the secondary. I mean, the cornerbacks have just been getting beaten in every possible way, it seems like. Last week was the most recent example of that. They just couldn't figure out Elijah Moore. So I think the important thing to look at in terms of what the future is like for Derek Mason, and again, this is a defense of players that he has all recruited here in his seventh year as the Vandy head coach. Candace Lee, Vandy AD, said a couple weeks ago her evaluation of coaches is not affected by COVID. So I think that should be taken to heart. And when you ask that, Willie, I just think about the defensive side and how not even close it is to being able to stop a team like Ole Miss. And obviously they're good. They have two quarterbacks. They didn't use Plumlee until the game was out of hand. But
it was too easy. Just too easy how they were moving up, even for a great offense.
Yeah, and I was working on the stats crew for the TV broadcast, and I spent my whole game in the Ole Miss record book, and that's not what Vanderbilt wants.
Chase, go ahead. I know we're up against time here.
We're talking to Max Herz, the Anchor Down podcast, but he also does a fantastic job on the sidelines for MyTV 30 in their high school football coverage. So the playoffs get underway, Max, and you've seen a lot of these teams throughout the course of a very weird year. In 6A, Oakland, of course, always a perennial favorite out of Middle Tennessee, but there's another team in Rutherford County that I'm very curious about, and that's Riverdale. What do you think about their chances in trying to maybe, I don't know if upset is really the right word because they're 8-2, they're a good team, but what do you think about Riverdale?
Are we just trying to talk up Kelly Holcomb here?
A little bit, yeah, before his silly underdogs tomorrow.
I'm always down to talk up Kelly, but I think Riverdale is, this is my third year being on the sidelines for these high school football TV games of the week, and Riverdale's been kind of in the same spot the whole time, as in they are really good, and they would win most regions in any class and could compete with the private school teams too, but they're just kind of chasing Oakland at the moment. And we saw that game, Riverdale and Oakland, was a one-score game at halftime, and then Riverdale couldn't defend a pass play from the 35 with no time on the clock. I mean, I could have called that play. I could have told you for Oakland, that final play of the half is going up to Isaiah Horton in the right corner of the end zone. They rolled that way, and Ian Schlachter threw it, and Isaiah Horton caught it. And I think that just kind of tells you what separates Riverdale and Oakland, because even if you know what's coming from a team that's as good as Oakland, and that's the most obvious play in the book based on game situation, it's tough to stop. So I hope that they will end up playing them again, and I think they will, because those are the two best teams in that region, unless Blackman kind of really gets hot at the right time. And their record's bad. They had to win the last week to get in because they had some COVID forfeits and things like that. Blackman did. But I think looking at that region, I think Oakland and Riverdale are both better than the top teams in the region they're paired with, which are Hendersonville and Mount Juliet. So hopefully we see that one again down the road. But, yeah, 6A will be interesting because, remember, there's no Whitehaven because all the Memphis teams aren't playing, so that opens up a semifinal spot. Could be Brentwood, Ravenwood in the quarterfinals again. A lot of interesting contenders, and the sad thing is we might have teams dropping out along the way because if you have COVID cases and you can't play, your season's over. So I'm really curious to see how it goes. I'm confident we will get it done, and I'm excited to see it.
Max, I have more questions for you, but we have to get to John Robinson, unfortunately. So I'll text you those, and then I'll let people know what you have to say.
How about John Robinson's that? An important guy, so
he
I'll
is.
Allow it.
He is. Thanks for the time, as always, and we'll do it again soon.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Max Herz, the Anchor Down podcast. You can check that out at thegamenashville.com, and also covers high school football for MyTV30. You heard it, John Robinson. He will address the media in about 3 minutes. We'll bring it for you on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.